welcome to Supergirl Gab, the show where we watch the CW Supergirl and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And this week, we are talking about the third season premiere, Girl of Steel.
Can you tell that we're a little bit out of practice doing this?
We're a little rusty.
It's a little rusty, but that's okay. We had some summertime to talk about some other stuff, but now the show is back, and that's obviously exciting for everyone, especially all the people we found out are actually real life people listening to the show, and
which is a relief.
Yeah, it's a relief for sure. And also, it was like a little bit surprising that it was like, this was not what I was expecting to have happen. But we're super psyched about it, and welcome to also to you new listeners who are just joining in with us for the new season. You can go listen to the old episodes, and if you don't know, we used to do this as a thing at Comics Alliance. And you can
when Comics Alliance was a thing.
Yeah, exactly. But thankfully, all the stuff is still up there. So, it's all archived up there as stuff you can check out. So, and that's in the there's links to that in the show notes. So if you want to go check out the old episodes, since it's all up on Netflix, you can see what we were up to before this. But now it's the start of the brand new season. And Katie, I know you had something that was on your mind as far as like how you were feeling, something that happened with the cast leading up to this season that kind of was weighing on you. And we talked about it a little bit, but I know that it's like certainly tinging how you feel going into this season.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it kind of short because we got lots of episode to cover, and I feel like this could get into a spiral down if we talk about it too much. But during the summer, actually, at San Diego Comic-Con, and I think if you follow some of the Supergirl show fandom stuff, you probably already heard about it, but some of the casts had like a kind of mean-spirited and tone-deaf interview where they were not being particularly thoughtful about Kara and Lena fans. And it was one of those things where it was very cringy. Like, I didn't even want to watch the video because I knew it was going to be really cringy. And the responses from the cast were very mixed. I think Kate McGrath probably had the most thoughtful one. She wasn't part of the video, but she just had like a really thoughtful point of view in terms of fandom and kind of respecting the space of that. And not all the other cast members did as good of a job. And it's made it so that I wasn't as looking forward to the season as much as I had hoped. Watching the first episode of the season now, I think I'm going to probably still enjoy the show, but it's just kind of a frustrating thing. It was kind of a thoughtless thing that some of the cast members got into, and it was pretty tone deaf, and so that's kind of where I'm at with the show. It's my enthusiasm for it has been muddled a little bit, not just because of this, but because of just, like, other things from last season, too. But I still enjoy enough of the show, and I enjoy, obviously, talking to you, Chris, about it. So I'm still game, and we're still gonna talk about this dang show. But that's kind of where my mind's at, and I wanted to bring it up.
Well, and I think I kind of noticed over while we were doing the other stuff, I was like, I think that honestly, I think I had more fun talking about the movie than I have talking about like any individual episode of the show. Even though I want so badly to believe in the show as much as possible, because I have friends who have kids who have, you know, like little girls who this show just means the world to them, and they think that Supergirl is just the best. And because of that, I really want this show to be the best that it can be. I want it to be not just as like quality entertainment to give the character the kind of representation in a wider media that the character deserves, but also like this show and this character really has a chance to have a platform to really mean a lot to this, you know, brand new generation of comic fans who are coming up and seeing these characters for the first time and could be really learning some powerful lessons from them based on how the people involved with these shows handle things. So, you know, in the stories and as, you know, and like in with stuff you're talking about. So, I hope for the best with this show, and I want for the best for this show. And at the same time, though, I realized when this episode started, I was like, I have absolutely no idea what happened last season. Like, it was like, it had all just completely left my mind. It sort of filled in. It filled in as the episode was going. But when it started, I was like,
There was a lot of exposition that just went right over my head in the first few minutes of the show.
Right.
Where I was just kind of like, those are certainly facts apparently about this universe. So I think we should jump into it. I'm just going to say,
big picture here. How did you feel about this episode? Thumbs up, thumbs down, just
kind of in the middle. I think more of a thumbs up. Like I said, I went into it kind of not dreading watching it, but like not as enthusiastic just because like I'm not going to dread watching Supergirl, but it was kind of.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
I wasn't as gung-ho about it as, say, last year when we got to look forward to, like, to seeing Clark for the first time and everything.
We knew that Superman was going to be there in those first two episodes.
And frankly, besides the behind-the-scenes stuff that, again, like, kind of put me on edge, it's also, we knew from the trailer for the season that it was like, Kara's dark now. So I'm like, oh, great.
Oh,
I'm really super excited for this to be a thing. We have this. It's interesting because I feel mixed about this episode because on one hand, I really don't like when the CW shows, especially Supergirl, jump or like act like they're going to commit to like to a character thing and then be like, oh, we fixed it.
We fixed it in one episode's time. Yeah.
But on the other hand, I didn't really want mopey, I am no longer Kara Danvers Supergirl to be a thing all season.
Yeah.
So if she got over, so, but it's a mix where I'm going like, but it doesn't feel like it was earned, like super earned, but also I'm glad that that was over, that they got that over with. So I'm very unsure about how I feel.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like we're to assume that there has been basically like 6 months that we didn't see of her being gradually more and more, you know, letting that side, the Kara side of her life kind of slip away because the Kara side is, you know, she's basically compartmentalized herself into feeling like Kara is the one who's hurting, not Supergirl, and treating it, you know, as though they are two different people. And it's like, no, Kara is at the heart of everything you do. That's who you are. You know, Supergirl is what you can do. It's not who you are.
I appreciated where they went with it because I think that they did another good job of really showing the difference between that Kara sees between her and Clark. Because it's very easy for people to frame Clark as, oh, he's an alien who's just pretending to be. And it's like, no. He was raised here.
Yeah, like, as far as he knows.
That is
like,
his point of view.
Yeah.
Like, that's his point of view, and he has way more connection to Earth than to Krypton directly.
Yeah.
And with Kara, it's a little, that's where the waters get a little more muddy.
Yeah, it really is. And like, I guess now that you say that kind of thing, like, that's the thing I always say about Superman, is that Clark is who he is, and Superman is what he can do. And
yeah, I literally had like a whole big Twitter thing about this like a week and a half ago where I was like, I'm very passionate about this character and his and the way he's treated. But that's kind of, I appreciated, and especially because we've seen flashbacks to Kara when she's had to, when she was very much not, she didn't act human when she was on Earth, and she still didn't really get how to act like a human being.
Yeah.
So I thought that, and also there's that whole thing about the way that Kryptonians are seen in the comics as being very analytical, almost to a fault. And I thought it was interesting that they played up Kara basically going, well, I guess being human didn't work. Supergirl was the one who saved everyone, so I guess I need to focus on my Kryptonian side, ignoring the fact that most of what makes Supergirl so special to people, besides the fact that she saves the day, is that she has a kind heart and has empathy and is personable with people while she's saving them, you know?
Yeah. People, yeah, it's like, it's which, impossible.
Which she gets to. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, Supergirl, it's like, it's kind of impossible not to love Supergirl. I mean, certainly, at least, you know, that's how she comes across to, I think, to us watching, as, you know, like as viewers. It's like, you know, we're there with parts of it that the average citizen in National City is not going to see. And we're just like, we are rooting for her even more. But it's like, she really does sort of represent such a, you know, it's like the whole point of them putting that statue, you know, in an area that they're wanting to try to revitalize and make people not afraid of, is like, look, here's this beacon of hope and shining light, and which is obviously a pretty, you know, at the crux of the juxtaposition of this episode, is like, this is how people want to see her, and she's kind of at war with what people want from her, and at, you know, kind of at odds with what is going on in her, like, yeah, her own inner turmoil.
I appreciated, too, that the person that brought her out of it was Hank, because it makes the most sense,
mm-hmm,
as someone who's lost everything.
Yeah.
And it's also an alien from another planet.
And they're really gone, whereas Mon-El is out there somewhere.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, she can be worried about him in terms of, like, just sending him off on a spaceship. But, yeah. Also, I will say, it's super fun how, as, like, last season, I was like, yes, we finally get to be rid of Mon-El, who I thought was largely just, like, a really frustrating part of the season, and they're just gonna keep showing me him over and over. I can't be rid of this character.
Yeah. I was, like, I figured first you would
scene,
be.
First scene, Chris.
Yeah, I could just sort of, like, you know, from states and states away, when it, the first time you see him, and I was like, I could just, felt like I could feel your blood pressure rising.
And again,
it's,
I,
like,
don't,
I
mind,
can't
the actor,
get rid of him.
I don't mind the actor. I just, so much of that character, though, is wrapped up in how they handled Jimmy last season, and it still bugs me, and it will never stop bugging me. That's a thing in my
the
brain.
The way that they play him up in, well, especially, not even necessarily last season, but the way that they are treating him in that opening moments where, you know, it's like, oh, she's in this field, and she's dreaming about him, and it's like this beautiful sort of picturesque sort of scene in wilderness, and them together, and they're like all in white, and it's music playing and all this stuff. And I was like, this is like, this frat bro dude is like gonna inspire those kind of feet. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's a real disconnect. Like, okay, if you, he just does not, I mean, they were into each other for sure, but it's not, he did not, their relationship did not really feel like that kind of love of my life. It, you know, it's like, because that scene sort of reminds me of like the thing in Gladiator where Russell Crowe's, you know, like, I'll see my dead wife and child again in the fields of whatever, you know, who cares.
Yeah.
And he does not, it's like, yeah, they were dating, you guys were dating for a little while, and like, yeah, he's really cute, and, you know, he's kind of goofy and fun, and he's, you know, but it's not like the kind of thing where I would go, and I could see someone seeing this first season episode, or I mean this you know, first episode of the season that hadn't seen the
something.
Others. Yeah, and go, yeah, like, oh man, this must have been like the love of her life. If someone was just jumping on now, they would go like, oh, they must have had such a like amazing romantic, you know, history together. And, you know, this is like really heart-wrenching. Look, I'm not saying that it wouldn't hurt to lose your boyfriend off to the stars and you're never going to see him again. But they had like so many times where they like sort of broke up and then got back together, and like things were, you know, really, he kept being a dummy about stuff. And it's like, he does not seem like the kind of character to inspire those kinds of like, you know, big end of just, it seemed, it did not seem like it really linked up with what his character was like, how he was portrayed in the last season.
Yeah. So
plus we got our first shot of his, of the new mom, which I'm sure is going to be wildly confusing for people that do not keep up with stuff on the internet.
Yeah, and the fact that she does not look that much older than Kara does not help. Yeah.
Which,
sorry, Erica Durant's just, I mean, she looks great, that's the thing. She looks great, but she doesn't, she looks so much younger than, I forget who the actress was before.
Laura something, I think.
Bernetti, I think? No, it's not Bernetti, but...
Berlanti?
Oh, gosh.
Berlanti, something like that, and not important.
Someone's screaming at us because they know the
someone
actress.
Who's a big fan of her. But I, after we talked about this last year, or not last year, over the break, when we were talking about how she was going to be replacing, you know, we talked about like, oh, maybe they're going to have some kind of thing because Erica Durance is so much, just seems so much younger than that previous actress. I went and looked it up, and Erica Durance is actually a year older than that actress.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that's shocking.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because she was, like, what, 10, 12 years ago, she was playing a teenager on TV. So if you add up teenager on TV plus a dozen years, you get this.
Somewhere in there,
But anyway, so Kara is being very dismissive of other people, and we're also seeing... I honestly think the weakest parts were the Catco stuff. And
absolutely.
I was so good to defend the Catco stuff last season. Like, oh, well, I can kind of see where they're going. But when last season she lost her job and she spent all that time and like to build it back up, and then she just quits in the middle of this episode.
Well, it's
only to come back at the end.
Yeah. Well, it's that thing of so so they're kind of in a tough situation because, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here and sort of give them some credit here, where they're in a tough situation where no one wants to see her being like all dark and mopey for half the season, but if they don't show, there's basically, it's like we said, there's like 6 months of her being gradually more and more, you know, getting more and more distant and mopey and whatever, sort of disconnected from her normal life. There's 6 months of that we don't see. So if we don't, since we don't want to see her being like that for, you know, half the season, they don't show it. They want to get back to her being what people expect from this show. Because I think the last season went well, so they're probably going to have, hopefully, new viewers this season. But it's like, if you don't show it, all of this seems rushed, you know, the resolution to it seems rushed. And it also, you know, it seems like, oh, she just, after working all that, you know, working so hard to get that job back, then she's just going to quit again. Like it's no big deal. So
I wonder if,
does that make sense?
I wonder if,
like,
yeah, I wonder if it would have been better if they had shown the scene from the last, like the last Kara scene from the season finale, and then done like a montage, and then just done like 6 months later.
Yeah.
So that you get a sense of like her building up those walls.
Yeah. That makes
sense. And then you can have them.
I keep saying.
So that you get that sense of time.
I keep saying they should hire you out to fix some of the stuff on this show.
I mean, just, I'm always looking for freelance work. It's not like I'm.
Yeah,
it's not like Comics Alliance is anywhere.
It always seems like, you know, it. And I'm sure that, you know, making a TV show is a lot of work, and it's got a lot of moving parts, and a lot of stuff to keep happy and to balance. You know, it's a real juggling act, and especially when you keep in mind that the fact that these people are trying to run like five shows at once, it's hard to keep stuff on course. But there's so many times where it feels like there should just be someone in the room that has common sense, you know, like in that writer's room or in that, you know, somewhere up the creative ladder that goes like, maybe we cut out this and focus a little more on this to make.
Yeah.
But also someone who goes, hey, you know what? Maybe in the middle of when they're really supposed to be watching out for this potential, like super, like really high level terrorist threat is not the time to have the conversation about, do you want to do this big wedding or not?
Yeah, that, the part where Jimmy, uses his super emergency watch to be like, his signal watch to be like, do you have my paper? I mean, I know that you're going after like terrorists right now, but, I really need that article from
you. Well, see, and that, I thought that was kind of like an interesting thing because he's using such a drastic, drastic thing to get her, to really get her attention. But it doesn't feel, it's like you said earlier, it doesn't feel earned because it's all happening in this one episode, which is then back to the problem they're having of it's like, okay, we're having to do it all in this one episode. Oh, well, I mean, they don't have to, but they're choosing to. And they're like going, all right, we're doing it all in this one episode because nobody wants to see her moping around for a long time. For, you know, we want to get back to her being like inspirational figure of, you know,
tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So it's tough. That's like a great moment that kind of got, I don't want to say wasted, but it's kind of like it got wasted as just a throwaway bit in this episode.
And also in terms of the Catco stuff, so her boss is just gone.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
that, like, that they're like,
Carr,
like not,
on sabbatical.
Sorry, you didn't make it to the next season, Snapper. Hope you find a new show to be on. Like,
I mean, it's just another character that they spend a decent amount of time building up in a season to just like throw away. I mean, at least he got mentioned.
Yeah.
Because Lucy Lane has not been mentioned since season one.
Oh, and what was the bad guy from season one that we have not heard from again? It was like
crap. Maxwell Lord, because they have, because apparently Superman has at least like seven different very rich man like villains.
Yeah.
So they're just running through them.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, that's just such a weird thing because they made such a big deal about how he's basically like the Lex Luthor of National City, of, you know, of Supergirl's world. And then because the actor doesn't want to come, you know, he's not going to come shoot in Canada instead of, you know, when they were shooting in California for the first season, all of a sudden his entire presence from the city is just gone.
Gone.
And it's like, that's one of those things where you go like, I know that this isn't real and they're just having to work around the limitations of real life. But you go, to just like not ever even mention him again when he's supposed to be like the biggest, wealthiest, most important person in the city.
Yeah. Especially with then would be manipulating all of this.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. And especially then when you just go and introduce a new one, you know, it's like then the second season, it was like, oh, now it's, the Luther, you know, it's Lena and she's obviously, they've done a totally different thing with her, but like, that was kind of how they introduced her as the season. It's like, oh, she's the big person and that's the powerful, you know, business figure in this season. And then to have this season where it's like all of a sudden, oh, okay, now here's Morgan Edge, who is like such a big deal in the city, apparently, even though we've never heard of him previously.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, can I just say, speaking of that sort of opening thing, you know, she's got the big deal where she's having that dream about Mon-El and her mom, which is a weird kind of thing to be see. Like
it's weird that it's like, oh, we haven't like really cast her dad, so he's not in the story.
Yeah, it's just her mom. Like, but hey,
just the mom.
To be fair, you know, it was kind of like in the old Superman movie how it's like basically just about his dad and his mom's just kind of like a footnote. Maybe this is like the flip of that, which, you know, it's fine, whatever. But it's like, you've got that. And then she wakes up or, you know, she kind of comes to and you see that she's doing that hovering up, you know, almost in space, listening just with her eyes closed, listening for the sounds, which is like stolen, like that is 100% straight from Superman Returns. And there were several things in this episode that were clearly, you know, I'll be generous and give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they're homages to other, to super stuff and, you know, in other movies and stuff. But there was that bit, which was 100% from, I mean, like the way they shot it, the lighting, everything. It was just, you could put those two scenes right, you know, side by side, and it's like, it's the same thing. And then there was another shot, which, the shot at the end with her, which, oh my God, the CGI on it looked so awful when she was bringing that sub up out of the water. That looked like,
oh my gosh, I'm so glad. Cause all right. So
that looked
so
like a PlayStation 2 game or something like
this. My partner and I were both, and I was the one who pointed out, because he's usually the one that's like, that special effect looked bad. But when she was pulling it up, I was like, okay, so they just ran out of money for this, for the shots in this.
Yeah.
And Mike defended it by being like, well, it looks a little better once you get him out of the water. I'm like, yeah, but it just looks like a shape as he's coming, as like before it breaches.
Like the surface tension. It's just like the breaching. That was the big thing for me, was like the breaching looked like, I thought we were seeing a shot of like someone watching a TV news recreation of what happened at first. And I was like, and I actually rewound that shot. And I was like, did that really look that bad? And it just comes up and there's like no water displacement. There's just sort of like the bubbles sort of immediately as it breaks, there's no waves really. And I was just like, how, this is your season premiere. But then that shot where she's holding the sub up above her head looks, and then she's kind of like coming down with it. And the way that scene was lit and sort of the way the camera angle was looked, you know, strikingly similar to the scene in Batman versus Superman, where he's got the rocket has blown up and he's like saving it and bringing it down. And she's got that
I barely remember this.
It was in the trailers, I think, is why it like really sticks out.
I do. Yeah. Now I'm remembering. But it's like,
but there were several things like that where
I saw that movie once.
Yeah. Same. I was like, I don't know if I could. Do you know how, I'm sure we've talked about this before, but it's like, I can't even fathom, you know, like telling someone 10 years ago, me being like Superman being the biggest thing in the world to me and going like, yeah, they're going to make a movie that's got Batman and Superman in it, and it's going to be like a $300 million movie, and you're going to see it once and go, I don't think I can sit through that again. That's a whole different conversation though. But
that's a big conversation. Let's get back. So
it's just weird. I was like, my point was just that it's weird to see them stealing these shots from Superman things that, and I'm like, I would love to know what the thought process behind that was. Like, because it seems too deliberate to not have a point, but I can't imagine what the point was.
So speaking of one of those weird things, there was, so the mother and daughter thing, she's clearly Rain. I'm pretty sure that they, like, I'm looking at the actress who, that's the thing, you're not going to be able to surprise your audience if you announce who the bad guy is being played by, and then you see her on the screen. But I forgot what the actress looked like when I first watched the episode. So I'm like, why are they spending so much time on this, like, mom and daughter? Even if they're going to be, like, potential victims of this horrible thing, you never spend this much time, like, also, where she has, like, an actual conversation, like, oh, yeah, my daughter.
Well, at first,
I thought, nice meeting you, random stranger.
Yeah, the way they were talking, I was like, is this a character from last season that I don't remember? I was like, is this, like, one of Alex's, you know, like, old friends that they haven't seen? Like, struck up a conversation.
It's just, like,
random stranger.
I thought she was, like, a plant, like, those two were, like, plants to like distract or something, like that they were with Morgan Edge.
Right.
Because like, why would you, like, I know how visual storytelling works. You don't bring up, like, it is basically Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't bring up these two characters and not have something horrible happen to them in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, there was no chance something bad was not going to happen to the two of them, especially, you know, most likely the little girl.
Yeah, and then the mom is able to pull her off, but like she bends the bar, and my immediate thought, because I didn't put two and two together yet, but I was like, wait, are there just now meta, like, did a meta-human explosion happen like it did on The Flash? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, has that just kind of crossed over into this universe? And then and then when they showed the ship underneath, and I was like, oh. And then the last shot of the woman waking up.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, did you think that, well, but until they showed that shot with her, that thing with her waking up, I was like, maybe this isn't a thing of, this isn't a thing of that she's Rain. It's a thing of like in Smallville, how basically people would get powers because of all the kryptonite. And I was like, well, no.
One more thing that kryptonite can do.
Well, no, and I was like, maybe this is another thing that they are like doing a reference to, because there had already been those other things. Like, it was like, oh, that's clearly like a shot straight from Superman Returns, and then there's this Batman versus Superman shot, you know. And I was like, maybe this is like how they're going to introduce more metahumans this season, and it's like all of these things that are, you know, stuff that has been done before is like they've all got a point to it somehow, and it's going somewhere that I just can't fathom. But yeah, this also, when she came on screen, and I like, you know, immediately I was like, okay, the way she is talking and what she looks like, she clearly must be someone from the last season or the first season that I just completely have forgotten. And then when you see,
I don't remember people from the first season.
Well,
are you kidding me?
But it's like, you know, when it's, but this was just like an interesting thing. I was like, this is the first time I've ever so clearly understood that there is a difference. Like, basically everyone you see on the show, anyone that sort of has like a speaking line sort of looks like, for the most part, you know, like 95% of the people are like attractive people. It's like attractive enough, you know, that they put you on TV and give you a line. And then it's like, mm-hmm. You have this one person where I was like, she's just a little too pretty to be a like throwaway thing. You know what I mean? I was like, it's just, you wouldn't find someone who's like,
so basically what you're saying is the three characters of Clark, Kara, and Rain are just too attractive to be human.
Yeah, exactly.
To be human beings.
You can tell they must. Oh, well, that's the thing. Yeah. Everyone from Krypton is just really attractive. That's the thing. Yeah.
That's their inherent superpower, no matter what Earth they're on.
Yeah.
No matter what planet they're on.
You can just tell.
They're just really, really good looking.
Yeah, you can tell. You can really just pick the Kryptonians apart when you're just like, that person's just a little too pretty.
A little too
handsome. That smile is just a little too charming. It was literally like
That little hair twirl.
Yeah, exactly.
Little hair curl.
She's like that. It's that thing of like, I was just like, she just has like a little bit too much screen presence to not be someone important.
To be a background.
Yeah,
character.
Yeah. And so I was like, this is someone, this is not just is something going to happen in this scene. I was like, she's going to be, I completely was not even thinking about Rain. I was just like, I know that this lady is going to
be important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then of course,
especially
it's like,
cause there's like a lingering shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do. Getting into the idea of Rain, because I, not knowing anything about the character, because I don't think she's had very little. It's a fairly new character.
Yeah, she's like a new 52 creation.
Because we really need to bring in more of those
yeah.
stuff to the show. Sorry, that was mean. That was mean to like every single new 52 creator. But I didn't know much about it. But the way that they had set her up in the show, in the finale, it made me think of like almost a Bizarro Supergirl type thing. You know, we've seen that already.
Yeah.
But that's sort of like evil Supergirl.
The antithesis, I think, version, you know, like that.
The antithesis. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's an interesting thing that kind of similarly to Lena, they're showing her as being very normal and very human and very, and obviously like loving her daughter, whether that's like her adopted daughter or what, I mean, or if she's half evil Kryptonian. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they'll explain it with fake science.
Certainly.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I am curious to see. It succeeded in making me curious to know where they're going with that character.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and it's interesting to see her point of view as someone who's very, very freaked out about what has
just happened.
Quickly happening to her. Yeah, yeah. So I think that it will make if she ends up being a fairly large antagonist for the season, it could make things interesting. I don't know. I'm more interested in Rain than I have ever been since the finale. so you succeeded there.
Yeah.
Well, first episode of the show.
Well, and it's nice to see. I like the idea of giving Supergirl. You know, and we've talked about this before. The thing of like how it's nice to see her have like, you know, the people that are really like her main adversaries or people that are kind of like on her level are all other females. So it's like, it's, you know, which I think that was kind of like maybe a weakness of that first season was Maxwell Lord was like, I don't know. It had like a weird feel to it. But of course,
well, we'll see what it's going to be like with Morgan Edge.
Well, I mean, you've still
I'm sure it's very different and not at all, not at all the exact same kind of character.
Well, you know, you've still got that guy, but it's like, there's also this other thing, which not important. Let's not worry about the first season, but that this is like a different avenue to pursue with that kind of thing. Like, you know, Lena was, oh Lord, we forget this every time. What is the mom's name? The mom Luther?
Lillian?
Yeah.
Lilith?
I think it's Lillian.
I don't remember.
I think it's Lillian.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's a mouthful. So I feel like I remember us having a hard time saying it also once we remembered what it was last time. So anyway.
Sounds about right.
To see this, like, you know, it's a totally different take. But, you know, between Lillian and it's also that it's like, it's not like with Terry Hatcher last year as Mon-El's mom. This is someone who's like way more. It's not just another evil space.
Alien, yeah.
Yeah, it's like someone who's sort of like a total opposite number in that she has grown up on Earth. I assume this is what they're getting at, is that she grew up on Earth too, but she has been, her life has been very different, and she just sort of completely sees herself as a normal human person. I like you said, I'm very curious to see where they go with it. It seems like it's setting them up for some interesting things. Now, of course, knowing how these CW TV shows go, they're going to spread about, you know, 10 episodes worth of material over 24 episodes, and it will be a lot of slog there in the middle to try to get through. But we hope for the best. We live in hope.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is going to be one of those things where right before the Christmas break / the crossover, because I think that will be the last one before Christmas, if like her story, it's either her story gets wrapped up or Morgan Edge's more or less gets wrapped up, because that seems what seems to happen is that like some
you gotta give some kind
problem.
Of closure. And
yeah, like
leave something hanging.
Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I hope that it's I hope that it's Morgan Edge, because good Lord. I mean, and that guy's been in a million things, but I was like, did someone tell him he was on a much goofier show? Because his acting was like so over the top.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm like,
But not his acting was over the top, but it was not like in a fun way to me. It was just like,
it was,
off-putting.
Is in a way. Yeah. Yeah. Also, and I love Katie McGrath and I really like her as Lena, but
oh my
she
God,
needs
her
to
accent.
Pick an accent.
Yes. That's like one of the only notes I wrote down.
Was this the first take from the beginning of this, like from back, like, yeah, we're back after summer. I need to remember how to talk as this character.
She's like, no, I
it
think, I've got it.
It
I
on,
think
but...
I've got it. I think I've got it. Yeah. We don't need to watch the old tapes. And then she's just, there was like parts in, like she would switch between accents in the middle of sentences, or there'd be like one word clearly she pronounced like a British person, and then, you know, jump back into pseudo her Lena accent from last season. And I was like, does she not care? Or does the people in charge not care? Or are they just like,
you know, You know, I was, all right, so I was on War Rocket Ajax this past week, and we talked about the last All-Star Batman, which was about Alfred, like, largely about Alfred, and there was a really funny line, and I wanted to read it out loud, and I was like, okay, should I do the accent? And Matt was like, no, of course you should do the, of course you should do right. your British accent. So, I mean, I have no right to, I really, truly have no right to, except I didn't get paid for that. She got paid and was put on national television.
Yes, it's her job. So, her job is, she had a whole season of talking like this character. I mean, it wasn't always perfect last season, but it was not like, I never had to write down in my notes about the episode, what is going on with her accent?
I'm hoping it was just the first take she did after coming back.
But it was the whole episode. The whole episode.
I thought it got a little better.
It may have gotten better by the end, but it's like the first couple times you see her talk, there was literally like, I could go pull the audio yeah. up. I was just like, I was flabbergasted. I was like, this is, I'm shocked. I mean, and yeah, it wasn't the whole episode. It wasn't like it was off the whole episode, but it was like, even when she was doing that big speech at the waterfront, I was going like, man, she's still doing it.
So to get, because we could talk about this a lot. can we talk about what they're setting up in terms, what I assume they're setting up to be the new status quo for our favorite character on the show.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
The fact that apparently Cat Grant is just going to show up as the best press secretary ever
yeah.
in a much better universe.
Yeah, oh my gosh. All of those.
And it's basically like, she's just going to show up just so that the writers can mock what's happening
yeah,
in the
exactly,
real world.
Exactly. Well, that was the thing.
And I'm not mad about it.
No, absolutely not. But that was the thing. Like, you know, I was very curious about what their plans for this season were, because last season was obviously so, like, real world influenced. And yeah. they were, I mean, even before the season started, they were kind of, you know, they were kind of talking about, we're going to use this, you know, this platform we have to say things. And we're going to be dealing with real world stuff. And then I have not heard any of that this season yeah. before this episode's, you know, before this season, like in the lead up to this season. And I'm going, which is fine. You know, if they were like, we just want to focus on, this is what we want to focus on this season. You know, last season was our political season and this season is our, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Of course, I mean, I would argue that all art is political and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah.
and the lack of blah, blah, blah. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Which, but, I mean, and obviously no. they showed, they are still going to talk about some of that stuff, but it was like, it was not.
I mean, I also get that, like, at least they're trying not to play all their cards as well.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the idea of, like, focusing on Kara dealing with the fallout of this happening, and I'm assuming that this is not, like, she's not going to be fine after this, that she's still going to be
she's still working on it.
With, yeah, still working on it. So if that's going to be the focus, they can still do plots related to real world stuff that they see in the real world in terms of the actual plot stuff and let the character stuff be more internal struggles and stuff.
Yeah.
But going back, so I did appreciate the fact that as far as I know, as far as I can tell, the president is still Linda Carter
yeah,
in this,
yeah.
correct?
Because they said, okay, she good. Said, I don't remember what the name was, but she did say she, and it's not like there would have been an election between now and last season.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just really fun. And I think this might be a really good way to, if they do this like every episode
oh, absolutely.
Or every few episodes.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's a good way to, yeah, it's a good way to get Cat Grant, like to get me a good monthly dose of Cat Grant in my life.
Yeah, without, if they just record her, like literally record Calista over Skype behind in front of a green screen, like that's and it's just tight on her face. That's all she has to do. And then every episode, they just have her saying something that is like commenting on real world stuff, and then it has nothing to do with the episode. That would be so wonderful.
I promise I won't sidetrack this too much, but did you see the reunion season of the Wet Hot American Summer?
No,
the
one well, that came out, like, I started a few it, but ago? I haven't watched all of it. So there's a good chance that you
can.
I absolutely love all that stuff. But it's one of those things where it's like, I love the movie so much, I'm like kind of scared to watch that because I'm like, oh, I.
Yeah, that's fair. It goes some places, but I think the one thing about this, this will be a very fast comment. it does a good job of not being a sequel to a camp parody,
right,
and more like a parody of like The Big Chill and those reunion, like we're adults now, but we don't know what we're doing with our lives. There's a lot of like of those sorts of
of
elements to it.
That's perfect.
Which I thought worked. But then there was like there's stuff towards the end that goes completely off the rails in a way that like even they like lampshade the fact that that it's a little stupid.
Right.
But no, there's a part what is it? The guy who was Niles on Frasier.
Yeah.
He's only in it for a little bit, but he's basically he's on, they get him on a computer because there's something like super dangerous that they need him to fix. And so he does it. And he's like, okay, guys, whenever you need me, like the next time, just give me whenever you're doing another season of this, give me a call. He takes off the mustache and he walks out and you realize that he has his Emmys behind him and he just picks him up and walks out. And so I'm just kind of imagining that, like when you said like, oh, you just put a green screen behind her. I'm like, yeah. And then she just picks up her Emmys and then just walks out the room.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fantastic.
So I'm hoping we get to see more consistent Cat Grant throughout the season. And then the only other thing,
I feel like the only problem with that is that it's going to be like, it's tough on the budget. Even if they just have her in there for a second, it's got to be.
Yeah. Maybe it's every few episodes. Yeah. I'm really sad that I realized this only like a few months ago that Perd Hapley stopped being the reporter.
Oh yeah, because they're
on the show,
because they're not shooting it in L.A. anymore.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, and I for some reason it did not.
That did not even register.
Mind. No, but until like, and I was like, oh yeah, Perd's not there anymore. This is really sad. It's not a Parks and Rec crossover anymore.
We'll miss you, Perd.
Yeah, we'll miss you. So I know we want to wrap up pretty soon. But I know you had some comments to make about the other the villain of the week.
Yes, I did.
So if you want to,
yeah, that was going to be my last thing that I wanted to kind of get at. It's, you know, since talking about Rain being like a comic character from the New 52 being introduced here, then you also, and I have to, it's like, it was weird that he didn't really do much or have much to say, but the character we're talking about is Bloodsport. They gave him, you know, they mentioned both his real name and his real name and his like comic character name several times. He is absolutely nothing like the Bloodsport from the comics, which this character is like, I mean, he's a pretty lame character, but he's like burned into my brain because they introduced him in the comics in the 90s. It was basically like, he was the first.
Of course they did. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
That name, yeah. That time period, perfect harmony.
It's like,
go on, sorry.
They introduced him. He was basically like the first villain, the first new villain introduced into the Superman universe after the death and return of Superman. Mm-hmm. So it's like Superman has just gotten back from the dead. He's just dealt with all of the stuff that happens in Return of, Reign and Return of Superman, with the other Superman and Cyborg Superman. And he's got the long hair, the super mullet. And I remember it's an issue of Adventures of Superman. And the cover has got Bloodsport. This is just, it's burned into my brain. And I got this comic at like a grocery store where it's like, but the guy has got, he's on the cover and the cover is just like all blue with the Superman S. But he's like shooting a hole through the S with his giant gun, and he couldn't look any more like, you know, like a 90s image big gun having character. And this guy is absolutely nothing like what that character was like, has nothing to do with him. But if you know, this is another one of those instances where, and of course the character didn't do anything. He never really amounted to anything in the comics. So it's not like they needed to honor his legacy.
It's just weird that they could have just had him be a nameless.
Yeah, it could have been like, anybody. It's goo. Like, why have this guy? And like, just such an odd thing. Also, this was bugging me from the beginning of the episode too. I was just thinking, it's like Maggie and Alex aren't in the same branch of government service. It's like, why would the two of them be in a car together shooting, like on a shootout?
I had that question too. Were they going on a date and then this just happened to like unfold and then they were like, in front of them?
I'm pretty sure that's not how police work works. Cause like Maggie is a cop. So she would, if the cops were trying to handle this, there's no reason Alex would be there. Like Alex might be there after the fact, but also I'm pretty sure that if you're like in law enforcement and you are a couple, they probably don't put you together, you know, like when they're going like, all right,
a little bit. Yeah.
Anyway, I know that they're just, we got to do stuff. There's things we have to let just slide for the sake of television, being the medium that it is. But man, some of this stuff, I'm just going like, stuff like this doesn't happen on Westworld. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. And as someone who's having to write world building, it is really frustrating because I think way too much about it and like get really nervous. It's like, oh, look at all these other people who just don't pay attention nearly as much. And then you said that the other thing that bugged you was the fact that Wynn did not mention that Bloodsport was also... was a movie.
The guy's called Bloodsport, and Wynn, who is the guy that makes all these other pop culture references every episode, and then you don't have him mention the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie? Like, are you kidding me? That was like the most, like...
Yeah, suspension broken.
Yeah, completely
suspension
broken.
Suspension disbelieved broken.
Because you know that when, like, just the other stuff we've seen, like the other kinds of references he makes... That is certainly a movie that he is well aware of, if not a movie that he completely enjoys, even if it is sort of like he ironically enjoys it for being like a bad, fun action movie. Yeah. Because that movie is wonderfully like fun, bad. But anyway, that just like, I could not believe that.
So I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think we pretty much wrapped
the
it
episode.
Up.
We did ask for listener question zone. I think we got a few.
We
right?
did get a couple, and I will look those up right now. I accidentally closed the window that had the question.
I was thinking
open.
Before we were recording, you were like, "I'm going to pull up the question." So I was.
I did. I accidentally closed the thing and then forgot to pull it back up. I was so focused on our conversation that I couldn't, I couldn't be distracted by that.
Yeah.
Well, also, if you hadn't said anything, I was just going to cut out the part where I had to look it back up. And it would just...
Oh, sorry.
Well, no. I'm sure this is much more fun for the listeners. The first question is from Twitter user XA Matt Drain, who is a regular on one of my other shows, Comics Rule Everything Around Me, which if you subscribe to this, you probably also get in the Keep It Close to Me feed. Anyway, he asks, could you guys see a version of Streaky the Super Cat working on the show? Or Comet,
yes.
Or either yes. as one-off Easter egg pet, or even full-on with powers. You say yes.
Absolutely.
I would.
I wrote a thing for Book Riot back when I was still writing for Book Riot. After the first season was over, about things I wanted to see, and one of them was I wanted Comet the Wonder Horse to be the thing in the pod.
Oh man, that would have been so awesome.
I want one of the super pets to be in the pod. I think I might have even said Superboy just because I thought that would be like really weird. Like if it was like young teen Connell, I also kind of wanted that. But I was like, just have one of the Wonder Pets be in there.
Yeah.
And then she has an amazing Wonder Pet that I'm sure will look amazing in CGI.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. So yes, absolutely 100%. I want that.
I would love it. I don't know how they would pull it off exactly. That's the big thing is like, obviously, yeah. I would love that kind of thing. As much as I love animals, and the only thing better than animals is like super animals, probably. I have no idea how they could pull it off in the world they've established for this show. And especially also like the budgetary constrictions. And I think the biggest thing would just be that like working with animals is really time consuming to try to get it right. And, because this show is always seems to be on such a tight schedule, I know that this answer is not very fun. Like I'm sure Matt was hoping for like a little bit more whimsical answer from us, and I'm like getting down to the brass tacks of it, which is just being a real killjoy. But I would love to see it happen. Absolutely.
I am trying to look up.
In my perfect world, it would be full on Streaky the Super Cat with a cape and the little lightning bolt, and she can fly around and just be a wonderful, boon to Kara in all of her adventures.
There is a very delightful fan artist who's done a lot of like Supergirl, the TV show fan art. And of course I cannot find her. I cannot find her on Twitter now, even though I just saw her. But
if you find it later, we will put it in the show notes.
Yes. But in the last few weeks, she's been doing specifically a little mini comic where Kara turns into a werewolf.
That's up your alley.
Yeah, and the one, I know. And the Wonder, or what's Wonder Dog's name? It's killing me. I can't think. Crypto. Crypto is there, and so she can understand. She can understand Crypto for a little bit as they try to figure out. Of course, it's the Kryptonian werewolf that scratches her.
Yeah.
But then they have to deal with like a wolf / dogified Kara who goes after like mailmen and starts running after cats, and they're just like, Kara, wait,
oh, you have to find
stop,
this
we
now.
Gotta fix you. Yeah, it was super delightful, and I'm trying I haven't seen it yet. I thought maybe I can't remember if I liked it at some point. I might just have to look it up. Yeah. I'll figure it
hopefully
out.
Hopefully Katie will find it, and we will check the show notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yes, I am pro the Wonder
Yes,
Pets.
We are. This Supergirl Gab is 100% pro Supergirl getting some of her famous super animals. At WC_WIT, it's all caps, so maybe it's, I don't know. Anyway, thank you for the question. Asks, top three things each of you want to see in the inevitable wedding episode.
Kara being a super... like a super maid of honor, like in terms of like going way overboard with helping the wedding as being like, no, it's going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And leading into that, then something going horribly wrong and they all have to fight against aliens or something.
Right. Here, let's take turns. Okay. So, all right.
Okay. Sorry. So I did two. So you do two. And
I want to see Kara and Supergirl both have to be in the wedding party. Where there's some kind of wacky shenanigans where they've got, for some reason, they both got to be there. And, but also, John can't fake it for her because he has to be there too. So there's super fun, wacky shenanigans. Somehow they have to figure out a way to pull that off. I want to see, somehow I want a bad guy to give, a wedding present. It's going to be, since this thing is going to be so big, it's probably going to be in the news, and there's a bad guy that knows Supergirl is going to be there. So he gives a red kryptonite present. He leaves that there somehow that also leads to wacky shenanigans, and like Supergirl gets turned into she's got a big lion head, or turned into a super lobster, or turns into a super baby or something. Okay, your turn.
I mean,
I didn't leave you. No. I didn't leave you much room.
Both of us didn't super love his episode last year, this would be the perfect time to bring back, and I never pronounced his name correctly, which is good.
That's what I started to say. Yes. But I was like, he sucked so bad last year. Let me do Red Kryptonite instead.
Did I miss that? Because you said a lot of stuff as I was trying to also.
No. I didn't say it, but that was the whole thing. That's we're right on the same page. But I thought I was like, I want wacky shenanigans, and it's like Mixes Piddalek would be the way to go with that. But since he sucked last year, we weren't a fan of how they did him. I'll say. Not that he just sucked.
I think I was kinder than you were. Yeah. I think you were really.
That's fair.
I think I was at the point where I just needed I needed lightheartedness in a time of darkness. So I was like, yes, give me stupid Silver Age shenanigans. Well,
he wasn't Silver Age enough for me, was my problem.
Yeah, which is fair. That's fair. By the way, I did find the artist. It's at Comic. Girl, ComicerGirl.
Comicer Girl.
And also, I don't think she threaded the tweets that had the comic because it's multiple pages, but I did find on her Tumblr, she has them all.
Okay.
She has them all organized. So I'll put a link for that.
Definitely put the link in there for that. My third thing would be I want Clark to be there.
Yes, I was thinking about that too. Even if it was just to be supportive, and the fact that he sees the.
Oh man, I want him to save the wedding for the end of the season, so then you get to have everybody there, and there's a whole huge big superhero DEO good guys versus bad guys wedding brawl. You know, kind of thing where it's
they might do that now. I do know that the actress who plays Maggie has more of a reduced role this season, which has made people very nervous.
I'm
wondering if it's, I know. So
I'll tell you one thing I don't want to see is them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is something bad happen?
Yeah, don't let bad things happen. Well, writers.
Bad stuff can. I mean, bad stuff can happen in the show, but I don't want that particular bad thing to happen.
The thing is that the CW has gotten some really big flack for not handling gay women very well. So I don't think that
they'll make that mistake.
That they'll make. The mistake of, but I wonder if it's either going to be that she is just not on screen anymore. Are they going to do the Clark? There are his boots. He certainly is right
over
there.
Totally right over there.
Or if she has something for work where she has to go and then she comes back.
Yeah.
It might be one of those things. I don't think they're going to break it. I don't anticipate them, but this is me telling you so that
we have
correct expectations.
Yeah, okay. This is preparing me in case something goes horribly wrong. Because if that had just caught me off guard, oh my gosh, I would have been so.
Yeah, especially, yeah. So I don't know exactly where they're going, but they're clearly not forgetting the fact that they got engaged last season.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's good. But yeah, in terms of how much on-screen stuff we're going to see, I don't know. But I will say I am assuming that it's going to be a very... Whatever happens with the wedding, it's going to be very sweet. And I'm hoping that there are a lot of shenanigans. And and again, Kara going completely I'm going to handle everything. I'm going to be the best bridesmaid ever.
I want to see her...
I'm Supergirl. Yeah. I can do everything.
I want to see her using her superpowers to... take care of wedding stuff. And as someone who has had to plan and be involved with a wedding, I cannot tell you how much I would have enjoyed having some of those superpowers to handle some of that stuff. I think that pretty much wraps it up. There's probably some things we forgot to get to, but that's what the...
They're clearly setting stuff up, so yeah. we'll be able to probably pull those back
and
up
that's what,
with future.
Yeah, bringing stuff like that up is what future episodes and our email is for. So if you've got questions or comments or things you want us to talk about or things we forgot, things you're super mad we forgot, Send us an email at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Just put Supergirl Gab in the subject line, and then we will get it. Also, you can follow the show at KICTM Podcast, and that's on Twitter. you can follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. You can follow the show, subscribe, download the show on iTunes, all of the podcast places. Leave us a review on iTunes. Katie, what do they need to know to follow you and just catch up on everything that they maybe need to know about what's going on with you?
You can find me at Just Plain Tweets on Twitter. That's usually the best place to see me ranting about superheroes besides on the show. I also have a website, kshankle.com, that kind of has all my general information. My comic Moonlighters will be having its fourth issue out on November 1st. And on October 28th, Moonlighters is part of Halloween Comic Fest, which is a free event happening in comic shops across the country and in a few other countries. They have a store locator on their website if you want to check and see if there's one near you. It is essentially, it's done by the same people who do Free Comic Book Day, and it's a similar thing, except that they're all very Halloween-focused comics.
AKA
and
better.
They encourage, I mean...
Halloween is
my comic was included in this one, yeah. So I guess.
Well, it's just Halloween is automatic. Comics are great, but Halloween comics are even better.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, and the nice thing is that they encourage people to come in costume. So if you have kids, it's a very kid friendly event. Yep. They can wear their costume a few days before Halloween and get some really fun free comics. And I will be signing, I can't be everywhere, but I will be signing my comic at the event at the Graham Crackers Comics in downtown Chicago on the Loop.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's going to be.
So hopefully I will see you then.
Yeah, that'll be super fun. I started to say, like, I have tentative plans for something that I'm doing on that same thing, but not as cool as that. So I think that's it. I think we pretty much, we totally kicked this episode's butt in that the episode of Art
Show.
I think so. So I don't think there's anything else to say other than thank you guys for listening. All of the things, follow us on the things, like the show, all of that, blah, blah, blah. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. Now I have to actually say, like, two sentences in a row without screwing it up. Okay, I can do this. Let me know when you're... Oh, we've already recorded.
Yeah, I snuck it in on you, so you would...
All right, we'll and now I need to keep an eye. All right, so we're... Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Hello again, and welcome to... All right, already screwed up. That's great.
Love it.